Good morning, seminary family. This feels comfortable to me. I've been here before. I've lived in this building for quite a few years. So it's good to look into your faces, although it is somewhat daunting to speak and attempt to preach before so many preachers. But we'll do what we can. I want to thank Andrews and Dr. Che for the invitation to be here. It's an honor. To be asked. We learned it in Cradle Roll. In 1998, Villard Books published Robert Fulham's book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. The book became a bestseller. It's been revised and is still for sale. Fulham works out in the book the truth of what he says that title of the book means. It's literally true, he says, that the whole world would be a wonderful place if we all lived by the kindergarten creed. You play fair. You don't cheat. You live a structured and balanced life. That is, you study, you play, you nap, you eat cookies, you listen to music. You say you're sorry. You don't hit. You clean up your messes. You wash your hands after you use the bathroom. You share. You take turns. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if all the politicians, lawyers, preachers, IRS agents played fair? Wouldn't it be wonderful if governments didn't hit each other, if all companies didn't neglect to clean up their messes, we would all be better off. And it appears to me, and this is not Fulham now, this is what I have to say, that often growing up, becoming adults, we can break or forget those basic truths that we once learned. Sometimes further study and sophistication can foster a whole new attitude that goes counter to the early truths that we learned. In pondering Fulham's book, I came to believe that much of this can be applied to Christianity. What does Jesus say about children? What passes for maturing can sometimes be an attitude that forgets what we were as children and the messages that we learned and took into our lives. Lessons that we were taught in Cradle Roll. Now, we're saluting at this time scholarship, and I salute that as well. I think that this place is wonderful in what it does. I think that you all should be here, and the emphasis on scholarship is an important thing. But in doing that, we must not forget the childlikeness that Jesus called for. We must remember the profound truth that what we learn should build on those foundations and not reject those foundations. So this morning I want to share with you about two things. One is the childlike attitude that's the basis for behavior. And two, some of the specifics of the things that we did learn, or, well, should have learned in Cradle Roll. Jesus talks quite a bit about children. There's two instances that all three of the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, talk about. And I've chosen one passage for us to think about together this morning, and that's the one that was read for our scripture reading in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. Consider this with me. If you have your Bibles and open them there, I think it would be great. They were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Think with me about this passage for a few moments. First of all, what picture do you have in your mind? I think most of us kind of see mothers bringing small children to Jesus. Actually, the word for child here in Greek can mean someone up to 12 years old, so we could have had older children as well. The pronoun is also in the masculine, so we don't need to picture just mothers. I mean, you know, this audience this morning is mostly male. This doesn't leave you out. I mean, fathers can bring children as well. So you have a family scene here with fathers, mothers, children, toddlers, older, bringing children to Jesus. Now, once you have that picture, you need to notice the next thing that this passage emphasizes, and that is the strong feeling of Jesus. It says here that he was indignant about the disciples' rebuke of these people. It's the only place in the whole Gospel of Mark that word indignant is used of Jesus. Strong feeling. They're short, staccato sentences. Jesus obviously feels very deeply about what's going on here. This isn't a minor kind of rebuke. This is a serious rebuke that leads Jesus to be indignant and respond in a way that shows strong emotion. And it says that this is an important issue because it says here, you know, well, it's the old King James. I like the old King James. Verily, verily, you know. Truly, that doesn't quite do it. But I mean, the point is when Jesus uses that phraseology, this is a big deal. The reason is because this is directly related to a core understanding of what Jesus' kingdom is like. The disciples have missed a core value of the kingdom of God. Now, if you study theology here, you know the kingdom of God is a key theme of Jesus. It goes over and on, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's an important kind of thing, and the disciples, those who should have known better, have missed a core value of the kingdom, and that is the kingdom belongs to children. Not only does the kingdom belong to children, Jesus says definitely, you will not enter the kingdom unless you become like a child. That's pretty direct, pretty unequivocal. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the core of Jesus' teaching. His kingdom is love, it's healing. It's hope for the outcast. It's food for the hungry. It's freedom for the slaves. Jesus' kingdom is binding up the brokenhearted. It's the release of those bound by Satan and sin. His kingdom is a kingdom of hope and peace and joy. His kingdom is the great yes to all of God's promises and the final no to all the kingdoms of this world. This kingdom gives passports and full citizenship to everybody. Children, slaves, women, the handicapped. Jesus, as someone said, takes anybody. There's no amen for that. He takes anybody. He takes us. This is the kingdom Jesus was inviting people to be part of, and the very ones who he wanted to invite to the kingdom had been turned away. The other thing we need to notice about this passage is that kingdom is received. I love that word. The kingdom is received. The kingdom is not earned. The kingdom is not attained. The kingdom is God's gift of grace in the presence of Jesus. It is received. Children can receive. Anybody can receive. Now, we're not talking here about childishness. We're talking about childlikeness. Anybody who's had children knows they're not perfect and knows they are not to be imitated in every way. We know that. Children can be selfish and petty and they can cry at the wrong times. But Jesus is referring to refreshing kind of openness, trusting receptivity. He's talking about people who just want to be touched by him, and blessed by him and held by him. The blessing that he gives is not earned. It's a blessing on those who are simply drawn by his love and his grace. It's a kind of open transparentness that lets the light of God look in and see us as we really are. Now, I think what this is like becomes clear when you look at the context here, the story that comes before and the story that comes after. The story that comes before, you have the Pharisees testing Jesus on the question of divorce. They ask him a question, as it says here, to test him. We know about that in the seminary, don't we? Anybody here who hasn't asked a question to test somebody? Any professor who's never been asked by someone a question that is to test? Yeah. Jesus knew about it too. They were playing mind games with him. They weren't really wanting to know what his kingdom was like. They were wanting to catch him and trap him. It was a mind game they were playing. That's not the kingdom. Passage that follows, you have the rich young ruler. He's got another problem. Instead of the mind games, he's got money madness. He passed on the kingdom because of his possessions. He failed to recognize what really matters. And so in between the mind games on one side and the money madness on the other, you have the children who receive the kingdom. Their question is to simply know the blessing of Jesus. They didn't know or care about money. You know, I don't know what age it is that kids begin to notice whether you have money or not, but I've been all over the world, and kids can play with anything. You don't have to buy fancy toys. They know how to play. They know how to live. They know how to enjoy life. As long as there's love and food, everything is okay. Sometime along the line, I don't know how we get into this thing of money making a difference, but one thing about childlikeness is it doesn't really matter in quite the same way as it does to those of us who are older. They don't know how to play mind games. They say the most direct things in the most inappropriate circumstances, but you don't question where they stand. They don't question where they stand. This is the children. Lord Jesus, we want to enter your kingdom. Teach us to receive it like children. Now, by way of example and illustration, I want to mention several specific things about cradle roll that we need to remember, okay? That we learned one time and we need to keep on remembering. I've chosen four of them. There could be more. This is what I see. Number one, it's important to be present and on time. If you're in cradle roll, it's important to be present and on time. I mean, you get a sticker. You know, you get a stamp. Somebody marks it on the board. It's important. You know, you make it important. And we can laugh and say that's silly, but you know, there's a lot of people that don't show up in class. I always tell people, if you show up in class, half the battle is showing up and being there. Now, you know, we were supposed to learn that in cradle roll. You know, kids understand that. We may not get stickers or stamps, but we get grades. And we also have community, you know, and I've taken some stands here. I voted to have the faculty required to come to chapel. And, you know, I dealt with a petition when I was president, you know, make chapel mandatory. Wouldn't it be wonderful if chapel was voluntary? Well, I mean, there may be some good things about it, but I think if you're going to have a community, you got to have people show up. They got to be there. I mean, don't you want people to come to church? Don't you want them to show up and be there? I mean, there's something simple about that, but there's something profound, because unless you're there to partake in the community of what's happening, you miss out. Now, excessive individualism is something we have a lot in our world today, and I think that one of the things we learned is to show up and, if possible, be on time. Crazy, but true. A second thing we learn, always bring a mission offering. Now, you might accept something like that from a mission professor, you know. But listen to me. Brothers and sisters, there are many, many churches today that don't talk about the international church and mission. I'm willing to bet if I ask for a show of hands, there would be a number of you who are in churches where that is not mentioned anymore or talked about. Is that right? Is that right? It's true. Now, not only do they take a mission offering, okay, but it's pictured, you know, they have a boat or, well, maybe a plane now or some kind of portrayal of a place where it's going. Something's happening that flesh out so that when you give what you're going to give to mission, you know about what's going to happen. Not a bad idea, you know. It's not a bad idea. We learned it in Cradle Roll. Now, I've heard someone say, well, their parents give them the offering, and they just give it. Boy, you're in trouble, because I want to ask you where you got your offering. Where did you get your offering? Didn't you get it from a God who gave you the strength and the wisdom to earn it? Isn't what you have a gift from Him? Didn't He give it to you? Childlikeness has a willingness to give. It's powerful. I had a speaker at Wawa just this last week talking about the situation in Haiti. His little girl came to him and said, Daddy, I want to give what I have to the people in Haiti. Her little brother wasn't there, but she said, I think he's going to give too, so she went and got his money. That's not the end of it. She got her money out there, and guess what she did? She turned to Dad and said, what do you have in the bank account? What do you have in the bank account? Recalls a story to me that I have a hard time recalling without emotion. I remember sitting in our little house in Chiang Mai, Thailand, our three children there. I don't know, I think the oldest was probably about 7 at that time. Somehow we talked about in church a famine that was taking place someplace. I don't even remember, you know, this is a long time ago. I don't even remember the details of what it was, but it's the first time that it dawned on them that there were people in the world who were hungry. They'd seen poor people, that's not a problem, but they assumed they had enough to eat, but hungry people. And then they put two and two together and said, you know, we can give something that might help hungry people. And so they said, is that true, Daddy? Is that true that if we can give something, we may help in this particular famine situation of this hungry people? Yeah. Oh, they said, well, we want to give. They went upstairs, piggy bank. I don't remember what, there were 3 or 4 different banks that they had, opened up the bank, dumped it out, and said, we want to give this. Well, you know what parents do. I don't know what parents would normally do in that situation, but I think Kathy and I both said, well, you know, do you want to give? Maybe you can save some of it for yourself, you know. Give part of it. Give part of it. Oh, no, they said, we don't need it. When I packed up that little package of offerings, sent it off, I thought of this passage of Jesus. Unless you receive a kingdom like children, you will not enter it. We learned it in Cradle Roll. This is an international church. Let us continue to teach what we once learned in Cradle Roll about what it takes to be an international church. Just discovered a month ago that one of my grandsons was out of his allowance supporting a child. And I said, how much of his allowance is he giving? I asked his mother. He didn't even tell me. His mother told me. He says he's giving all of his allowance to support this child. It's a monthly fee. He supports monthly this child. I said, well, I still see him spending money sometimes. Oh, she said he trusts God to give him some special jobs to do, and he's so far had enough special jobs to get anything that he needs, but his whole allowance, the regular thing that he gets from us every month, goes for that child. Unless you become like children, you'll not receive the kingdom of God. Number three, in Cradle Roll, you can have joy, you have fun, you have music, you have action. Most kids love Cradle Roll. They get to do things they enjoy. My little granddaughter this past summer was going, she loved it. How do you like, I love Cradle Roll. 2 weeks ago, my niece was visiting on Sabbath afternoon some people's house, and it was time to go home, and so they told her it was time to go home, and she didn't hear the home part. It was Sabbath, and so she was thinking, Sabbath school again? All right. Twice a day, that's good. That's great stuff. I don't know where one of the saddest things is somewhere along the line, many people lose that, perhaps by junior division. Sometimes earlier, sometimes later. I'm not sure of all the reasons, but I can tell you right now that if joy can return, if joy does return, not only to Cradle Roll, but to our churches, it'd be hard to keep people away. I'm not sure why this happens, but somehow, if we could exclaim with Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Churches with this element grow. We learned it in Cradle Roll. Let's remember it. Joy, celebration. Number four. The center of song and talk is Jesus. The language is Jesus, you know. Sometimes they use big people's words in Cradle Roll, but usually they try to relate in Cradle Roll terms. And so instead of worship, you sing about Jesus. Or better yet, you sing to Jesus. Sometimes the word God is used, but most often we use Jesus because it's seen as more personal. Prayer is not necessarily prayer, but prayer is talking to Jesus. Offering is not offering, but offering is what? Giving to Jesus. Study of the Bible is not a Bible study, but it's to learn about Jesus. This talk is personal. It's real. The assumption is that Jesus is alive and can be communicated with and is active in our world, and that is a profound truth that some adults have forgotten about as they live in their head and not with their heart. I believe today the most dangerous heresy facing the Western church is not atheism, although that's not good, is not some other religion, is not the New Age movement, is not something from outside. It is what 2 Timothy 3:5 calls holding the form of godliness but not denying the power thereof. A form of religion, but not the reality, not the heart reality, not the totality of response that changes life and brings joy and peace. Somehow it's easy to forget it. In the New Testament, we find that Jesus came and lived and died for our sins, was resurrected, and sent his Spirit to be his presence among us and to be experienced. To do that, we must talk and live about Jesus. Knowing it theoretically is not enough. Accepting that a relationship with Jesus is where it's at is not enough. That relationship must be practiced. And any call for moral reform without a heart change in response to Jesus is legalism. We need to know Jesus personally ourselves. We cannot kiss through a messenger. The cultivation of the living presence of Jesus, the interchange with Jesus in a vibrant devotional life is not an important facet of Christian life. It is the core of being a disciple of Jesus. This is crucial. God wants us to love him with all of our hearts, but we must guard against the temptation to move from the core, which we've learned already. What we study here must strengthen, uphold, and deepen what we already know. Unless we receive the kingdom as children, we will not enter it. Just a few verses on, and if you have your Bibles, you can check it. Just a few verses on from this passage in verse 24, Jesus lovingly uses the word children for his own disciples. You know, he wasn't calling them, he wasn't insulting them, he wasn't putting them down. It was a compliment. He's saying, you know, you guys are here learning. Okay, children. I don't know how that would work in our culture, but work then. Because they knew the heart of Jesus and what he was saying. He was basically calling his disciples children. And what I would like to ask for today is a revolution of children or childlike disciples. Receivers of God's grace who want nothing more than to be touched and to be blessed by Jesus and to share that love with other people. We were living in Thailand in 1973 during a major revolution. They've had several, but the one in 1973 was known to the outside world as the student revolution, but inside the country, they called it literally in Thai, the children's revolution. The word for child in Thai, dek, can refer to anybody who is fairly young, and even university students can be called children because they're, you know, this is an age-respecting society, and so, you know, anybody who doesn't have a decent age of at least 40, you know, is really still in the maturing stage. And I can still remember talking to one of our older church members in the country, as she said in awe, she said, the children have taught the adults. I still have this vivid picture. It was all over the newspapers of students in their uniforms. University students wear uniforms. All in their uniforms, thousands of them marching 50 or 60 abreast in a huge march down the central boulevard there in Bangkok. And waiting at the other end were soldiers in combat gear with their guns at the ready, barring the way. And the command, we know now, the command to shoot was actually given, but the soldiers refused. They could not shoot their unarmed brothers and sisters. They couldn't do it. And so the students marched on. The totalitarian government of the general passed, and the children's revolution changed the country forever. You know, I really want to see the same thing happen to church today. I want to see a children's revolution. And that can happen in God's kingdom. Everybody enters as a child because it's a kingdom of grace. Nobody is left out. Everybody who wants to be a part of the revolution, regardless of age, background, whatever you want to say, is a part of the revolution. And so I want to simply invite you this morning. Remember We need to remember what we learned in cradle roll. We need to learn to receive the kingdom as a child, and as we do, we will change. The church will change, and even the world can change. Please join me in the children's revolution.